Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 20th day of March, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is a world in chaos. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambeth. We do welcome callers during the broadcast. We do ask that you be mindful of your language and also mindful of other callers, that you don't walk over them while they're speaking. We are in the question and answer mode, which means that you are muted automatically upon joining the call until such time as you send me a notice either on your phone with a *6 or on your computer with pressing the ask question button. And that will flag me, and I will be able to unmute you, and you can join in on the call. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and that's with no spaces or any special characters, just plain pastordan.net. And on the website, of course, we try to put a lot of the information, a lot of health tips. We put things up there about what's going on in the world on the Daily Mail page. For those interested in firearms for protection, hunting, or whatever, we have another page up there, Lock and Load, with a lot of the contributions sent in by listeners on tips on what to get, why to get it, etc. There's even links to some of the better deals that are out there available on the internet and at your local stores. Also recommended reading page that I update quite frequently, because we're coming across many books by fine authors that have tried to warn us about this stuff coming at us. I remember one book I read a long time ago called Great Awakening. It was the actual title of it. It had to do with economics. And there was another one about an economic tsunami coming at us as well. So there was a Congressman Finley tried to warn us about the Pharisees that are operating amongst us today, basically communists hiding as patriots within our nation, and nobody paid a heed to him. There was Charles Lindbergh Jr. who tried to warn us. There was Father McLaughlin, many, many other well-known people. In our time, of course, there was United States Air Force General Ben Parton, United States Army Colonel Don de Grand Pre, Air Force Colonel Francis Farrell, and many, many others. Michael Gaddy, formerly U.S. Army, Stephen Barry of the Special Forces Underground. So we've had a whole host of people tell us about the trend, and now, of course, we see the whole world in chaos as the players, if you will, the rulers, the people that operate behind the scenes are pulling the strings to cause the pandemonium that we have going on now. They call it a pandemic, but it's actual pandemonium. It's by design. The New World Order told us a long time ago that out of chaos would come order. Now, what they meant by that is orchestrated chaos will be used as the cover. The former Rahm Emanuel from Chicago, who Barack Obama brought to Washington within hours of winning the election, because that was the plan. That was his handler, and he often made the statement, never let a good crisis go to waste. Now, he ought to know, because he's part of the tribe that creates most of the crises that we have in this nation and around the world. Nothing happens by accident. Roosevelt, one of the globalists, told us a long time ago, in politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, it's by design. So either these people were lying to us, or they were just having a moment of honesty in their pitiful lives, where they were actually bragging about the fact that they have that much power, that much control. David Rockefeller bragged about the fact that the media in this country was in their pockets. They paid them to be silent and to go along with the regime. And that's why most people don't know the details about what's going on a day-to-day basis. So a lot of chaos out there this weekend could prove to be very, how should we say it, enlightening as to what the true direction of all this is. Because we still have a group of people saying that much of what we see going on is the white hats trying to bring down the globalists and the sick pedophiles and degenerates that walk amongst us. But I tend to agree with Robert David Steele, the former CIA officer who is now running hashtag Unrig with Cynthia McKinney and trying to get our elections back to being fair and honest. He is also exposing a lot of other things going on. As he said in a video he just made within the last couple of days, he's a Trump supporter. However, as many people have said, that doesn't mean he gets a pass. You still have to keep an eye on him. And his problem, as well as mine and many other people, is the fact that if these are good guys doing this, then when do we see the evidence? When are they going to manifest themselves? Everything I see in Scripture says that we, his sons and daughters, do things in the open. We don't do things in the dark. That's what the enemy does. So it remains to be seen. In the meantime, everybody should be on high alert as to what's going on. And the best resources that you have would be personal contacts with all over the earth at this point in time. People that you've known for a very long period of time, you know what kind of people they are, what drives them, what their motives are, etc. And with all things, including what I tell you, you take a grain of salt and you put it in your thinking cap and dwell on it and test it. You don't take anybody's word for anything. And like I said, including mine. But you take everything in, as the book of Thessalonians tells us. You take all things in and keep that which is good. The old saying used to be, you eat the meat and spit out the bones. Okay, chew on the meat, spit out the bones. So virtually every source that you get will have some things in there that you're not going to agree with or doesn't fit with the empirical evidence that we see. But so you're going to need the counsel of many. That's a proverb. In the counsel of many, there is victory. So you want as many counselors as you can have. However, you want to make sure that each of your counselors is the best person for the job, not just some willy-nilly person off the street or some television celebrity or even a government official. They're not necessarily reliable. You want to get as reliable people as you can, and then put it all together and let rational thinking take over. You know, dissect it, take the pieces apart, put it back together, and try to figure out what's going on. The only thing we do know is that this is all orchestrated. It's planned. Most of the governments of the world are complicit. The bureaucrats are complicit. The bankers are complicit. The major media is complicit. Your pharmaceuticals are complicit. Educational systems are complicit. State government is complicit. Law enforcement is complicit. So it's obviously big. So again, if it's the white hats, that's great. But when are they going to manifest themselves? Because the only players that we're able to see on the surface all tend to be part of the cabal, the deep state. So, again, you know, we stay optimistic and hope for the best, but at the same time, you have to stay alert and you have to use your discernment. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, because it even says in Scripture that the delusion at the end of the age, and because of our unfaithfulness, a grand delusion would be put upon the people so great that even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. So what makes it not possible? The fact that you love the Father. That's the only reason. That your walk with the Father is tight and strong, so that His Holy Spirit will take over and give you the discernment you need. If you don't have that, you're lost. You don't have a compass. You don't have a rudder. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, we have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. We also read in Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord Yahweh, meaning El Shaddai, will do nothing unless He reveals His secrets to His servants, the prophets. In other words, He's not going to come out of the blue with a plan or with some shenanigan. He's going to reveal it through His prophets. His prophets are going to try to get the people to wake up and understand what's going on ahead of time. That way, when it happens, you can say, aha, okay, I was told. The prophets warned me. That's one of the signs of a prophet, is that what he's telling you about comes to pass. If it does not come to pass, then he's a false prophet. And we all know what happens to false prophets. Okay? In Romans 8, verse 28, we find out, we know that all things work together for the good for those who love Yahweh God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Not our own, but to His purpose. Okay? So, again, we see all this this stuff going on. It's causing pandemonium, but it's also separating the wheat from the tares, because His wheat aren't going to be running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They're going to be, you know, cautious. They're going to be observant, but they're not going to panic. First of all, if you're a child of the Father, you should have made preparations. Okay, we've been talking about this stuff on radio for 20 years. We've been talking on personal get-togethers and gatherings and feast days and things like that for at least 35 years that I'm aware of. And this message has been pretty much the same all the time. Try to get people to come back to the Father, get in a right relationship, and also to prepare just like a good Boy Scout is trained. You prepare for the worst at all times. That's just, you know, the old farmers where I grew up, that was something they did as well. You always kept a stocked pantry. You always put some things away for a rainy day. That's what they used to call it, a rainy day. Today we would say, you know, make hay while the sun shines and put things away in case of a hurricane, tornado. And now I guess we can have a flu. A bad case of the flu, because even though they give it a different name, it's just another variety of a flu. That's really all it is. And people say, well, no, Dan, flus aren't dangerous. Yeah, they are. Go read the statistics. It's online. People die of the flu every year, far more than this supposed contagion that's giving them the right to become declare martial law on us. Okay, there was a very good article put out by the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association that was founded by Richard Mack, Sheriff Richard Mack, and he just put that out the other day, where he talks about the fact many of these things that are going on are unconstitutional and without authority. The government doesn't have the authority to shut the country down. They don't have the authority to do that. Even if this was legitimate, they don't have the authority to do that. Okay, there is no mandate for them to do that. None. They're taking it upon themselves, and they're relying on your complicit acquiescence and your fear. Again, that's why the Christ said before He left, He said, will I find faith upon the earth when I return? What do you think He meant by that? Take a look around you. How many people in your neighborhood, how many people down the street, how many people within your family, etc., are exhibiting fear and angst over what they're seeing going on instead of being brave and courageous? I'm just saying. All right. He was, we were told never to allow fear to be what guides us, what drives us. Okay. So just remember that. Proverbs 28 verses 1 and 2 tells us that the wicked flee when no one pursues. In other words, they're paranoid. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. In rebellion, a land has many rulers. In rebellion, a land has many rulers. But order is maintained by a man of understanding and knowledge. Now, I could be wrong. That sure looks like to me it's defining a biblical righteous monarchy. I could be wrong, and you can write in and tell me. But that verse is talking about that if you're in rebelling to what our Father wants, you're going to have many rulers. What do you call a parliament? What do you call a Congress? That today they've ruined everything that the Founding Fathers put in place. Okay, your Senate was supposed to represent states. It was supposed to be appointed. The senator was appointed by the legislature of the state, not the people. The people already have representatives in the House of Representatives. That's where the people's voice is heard and representation takes place, not in the Senate. So everything that the founders put in place has been bypassed. Every check and balance to keep tyranny at bay has been bypassed. We don't have honest money. We don't have a true Senate. We have digitized elections to where it's now a selection process. And there's only two companies that build and operate the vote counting machines. And as far as I remember, one of them for sure, and I believe both of them, are foreign. They're not even American companies. And I can give you three guesses of where, what country is the origin of the builders of the machines and the maintainers of the machines. Okay. So again, common sense, take a look at what's going on. Everybody that has had the Holy Spirit tell them to prepare has made preparations. So right now it's a watch and see, wait and see, because we don't know for sure what's going on right now. Only that, again, the pretext, in other words, this virus is a lie, and that they are way beyond their legitimate authority in shutting down the country. Way, way beyond their authority. That we do know. Now, what's behind it? Again, like I said, they've got people saying it's the White Hats. I agree with Robert David Steele. I'm a bit skeptical because there's no evidence that it's good guys. All the evidence points that it's just another maneuver by the Bolsheviks. Okay? Time will tell. And then we'll find out what the heck's really going on. And I think, again, this weekend, the reason I want to come on today, partly because I'm still on the road. And so I grab as much airtime as I can and still be able to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. But because I'm getting feedback from a lot of people. I just, earlier today, I heard from a fellow that lives up in Illinois and about what they're doing up there. I've got family in Jersey and Pennsylvania, so I'm hearing about what's going on there. Down in Florida, same thing. Texas, same thing. California. So all this stuff comes in, and it's very concerning. Most of the platforms that I monitor are very upstanding people, and all of them are very, very concerned about what's going on. So as the Founding Fathers said, keep your powder dry, I would say to all patriots, true patriots and lovers of our Father, now is the time that you would want to keep your powder dry. And everybody out there should know what I mean by that. What do we got here? Ralph says, it's time to make our own world and leave Babylon. I'm praying the Ark and Elijah the prophet manifests himself soon. Amen to that, Ralph. Ralph was from Canada, our brothers and sisters up there in Canada. I listened to a song that was sent to me, produced by Paul Wilbur, and it's called Days of Elijah. If anybody contacts me, I'll be glad to send you a copy. I would highly recommend that they contact Paul Wilbur and his group. They produce some excellent, excellent music. But as a sampler, I would be very happy to send you a copy of Days of Elijah, because I personally believe we're in the days of Elijah. And this is an excellent song. So Malachi chapter 4 describes the days of Elijah and what the prophet Elijah, the fellow that comes as a prophet in the form of Elijah. It doesn't have to be literally Elijah. He will come as Elijah did to represent the Father to the people as a prophet. In fact, the very name Elijah is that Yah is El, which means God or supreme. The term El, which is short for Elohim, meant not only a supreme being in the supernatural, but it was also talking about, like, even a magistrate here on earth could be referred to as an Elohim. It's a person in authority. So an anointed person in authority. Yahshua was an anointed person in authority when he walked this earth. That's what his name means. He was sent in the name or under the authority of Yahweh himself. His whole name means that. Jesus comes from the Greek word Jesus. Jesus is a transliteration of Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. The word Christ comes from Christos, which means anointed. So he's just saying the Joshua that was anointed. And people knew he was anointed. When he spoke with authority, and they could tell that it was the words of the Father, okay, which set them apart from other people. Okay, you can pick it up. Just like Scripture says that the Spirit testifies to the truth. The Spirit, meaning Holy Spirit within you, that little voice within you as you hear somebody speaking. Okay, and we got a caller. I got Ralph here, and I think you want to say something, Ralph. So welcome to the program, Ralph. Can you hear me? Hello? Ralph? You might be muted at your end. You're not muted at my end. Or else you hit the button by accident, which is very possible. Okay, apparently Ralph does not have anything to say. Okay, if you change your mind, just click on the button again, Ralph, or send me a text here. Oh, yeah, he says here, mistake, I hit the wrong button. Okay, very good. And then Henry is in here, this absolutely looks like a communist takeover, no doubt at all in my mind. And again, Henry and like I said, Robert David Steele, Ron Paul, the former congressman and doctor, by the way, who has said that this whole medical emergency is a ruse to cover up a takeover. And it does appear that way, okay? All the evidence of what we see going on would lead any rational man to say that's what's going on. This is a takeover. This is martial law that they could not bring down on our heads as they tried to do through the Second Amendment, grabbing of the weapons. That was not going well for them. There was too much resistance. The big meeting at Richmond, Virginia, and many of the states, the fact that states have talked about seceding from the Union over the Second Amendment issue, etc., that test run didn't go very well for them. So they went back and said, they went back to the drawing board and said, all right, what can we do? Well, okay, they came up with an alternative. We can't get the guns away from them, so what we can do is isolate them. What better way to isolate people than with a fake pandemic? Okay, this is not a pandemic. By definition, it is not a pandemic. It's not even close to the normal problems that are caused by the flu, every flu season. Okay, and again, you can go online and get the statistics. They're there. This thing is nothing more than a strain of the flu. It affects some people, the same people that are affected every year. If you have a weakened immune system, if you're extremely old and frail, if you're very young and your immune system hasn't built up, if you have pre-existing conditions, every single year the flu is a concern for those people. No different than if you go outside and you're allergic to bees, okay? 98% of us can walk outside and getting a bee sting is an annoyance, but it's not something that's going to kill you. But there is a tiny few who are allergic to it. It could kill them. Okay, that's the difference. If you are that very tiny, tiny portion of the society that is prone to complications, has pre-existing conditions, or is heavily medicated, or we're finding out if you're in a heavy bombardment of the new 5G, all those things could lead you to be susceptible to this strain of the virus. One of my friends sent me a picture off a label of Lysol from the 1960s talking about coronavirus, which is just another name for the flu virus. Okay, back then, Lysol was good for killing that virus. Lots of things are good for killing virus. Silver, colloidal silver is good for killing viruses. Garlic is good for killing viruses. Echinacea will build up your immune system and cause you to be able to fight a virus. There are many, many things that can help you fight off a virus. And one of the best things is heat, warmth. Viruses don't like warmth. That's why the flu season's in the winter, not the summer. Okay, same thing. Okay, your body, why do you get a fever? You get a fever because the body is killing the virus. Okay, what does the medical profession want you to do today? Bring down the fever. Well, how's that helping you kill the virus? It's not. They want you to use pharmaceuticals to kill the virus instead of what nature and Yahweh intended, which is, of course, your own body's temperature. To burn it out. So everything's upside down, exactly as the prophets told us years and years, many years ago, that at the end of the age, good would be called evil and evil would be called good. And so today is everything's ass backwards. Everything is upside down. Okay? Women and children rule over us. Okay? The prophets told us that that day would happen. Men were supposed to be in charge. Men are supposed to be the leaders of society, not only their households, but society in general, just as our founding fathers wanted it to be in this country. And that's a fact. Okay, I'm not making that up. You can look it up. Go read the founding documents. Pastor Baldwin has the freedom documents that are available, Pastor Charles Baldwin. There are many other patriotic groups that offer packages of these founding documents. You can get the Federalist Papers, the papers that were written back in the 1700s prior to the Constitution being voted on. The Federalist Papers were written to educate the public into what the wording in the Constitution was all about. So it's a great place to go find what was on the minds of the founding fathers when they came up with the Constitution. For instance, in Federalist Paper number 2, it's the author of that one is John Jay, one of our founding fathers, and John Jay very clearly says who the men are when the Constitution, for instance, when it says all men are created equal, what men were they talking about? Because nobody with a brain that functions properly knows would say that all men walking out on earth are equal as far as what? IQ? They're not equal IQ. They're not equal in their talent. They're not equal in their speaking ability. They're not equal in their athletics. They're not equal in their spatial skills. So what was it talking about? John Jay very clearly says that it was European Caucasian males that the Constitution was talking about. And here again, the Supreme Court has upheld that clear as late as the late 1800s. There is a Supreme Court decision on a Washington, D.C. Case where I think it's two or three black women had brought a suit against the city for not protecting them. They were assaulted or accosted or whatever, and they brought a suit saying that the police did not protect them. Something like that. I might have it off a little bit, but it's still the gist. You get what I'm talking about. So they brought a suit, and it got all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court threw it out because they said that being black, the Constitution doesn't apply to you. Now, this is long after the Civil War was over. The Supreme Court said the Constitution was written for European white people that founded the country. It didn't apply to other people. Okay, so that's clear up to almost 1900. It was like 1896, 1897. And again, I found this while I was searching for something else. You can go search for it too. Again, I'm not asking you to take it just because I told you that. I found it because I was looking for something else, much like I found the word rhadamanthine by accident. I was looking for something else, but it fits perfectly. What does rhadamanthine mean? It's based on Greek mythology. It means to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. My first thought was, why have I never heard of this word? That's a compliment. To be called a rhadamanthine person is quite a compliment, but we don't hear it because it doesn't hardly apply to anybody. Who do you know, especially in government or banking or in industry, who do you know that the word rhadamanthine would fit? I couldn't name anybody. Like I said, I agree with Ron Paul on a lot of things, but I don't know that I would call him rhadamanthine. But our founding fathers and the people that put the dictionary together believed that there were people, at least at some time, that word would fit. Just like the word bureaucrat. I thought it was beautiful the day I looked it up. A public servant that does the same thing day in and day out without intelligence. Perfect. It's exactly what they are. Basically automatons that do what they're told without intelligence. And today you might say without integrity, without honoring the Constitution, without honoring their oath of office. So it's not just the fact that they have no intelligence, they have no honor. They have no adherence to their oath of office, which makes them traitors, by the way. If you become a military man, a sheriff, a public servant, if you're in Congress, if you're in the legislature, the judicial, executive branch, whatever, even if you're just working for the government, you take an oath of office for a reason. It's telling we the people that you understand that the Constitution is the supreme law and that you are to maintain those restrictions within the Constitution. See, the Constitution was written to monitor and curtail government, not us. Okay? Our rights exist because they were given to us by our Heavenly Father. Our rights didn't come from any body of men, and it sure as hell didn't come from government. If it were up to governments, we'd all be enslaved today, and they're trying to do it right now. They're trying to see how far they can push us. They're going to see if there's any vestige of manhood left in this nation. And unfortunately, up till today, there hasn't been a hell of a lot of it shown. Like I said, every now and then you'll see things like Richmond where some of the real men will come out and whatnot, but by and far, a lot of our population has been bought and paid for with all the trinkets. I mean, think about this. When Satan tempted the Christ, what did he tempt him with? Do you remember the account? Okay. What did he tempt Christ with? The very things that our people clamor for today. Okay. The very thing our people demand today. Toys, cars, trinkets, fancy clothes, fancy houses. Everything in this Babylonian system is what we demand. And we think we deserve it. When we don't get it, we get angry. And when Big Brother pulls the strings to take the things away from you or threaten them, then you beg Big Brother to bring them back. This would be a good time to read that quote. This quote I've been sending out quite a bit. And I think you know which one I'm talking about. So let me string down through here and find it. But this quote nails what's going on today. Very, very much. I should have done a search for it. I thought I could go down here and find it. Oh, yeah, the other word, too, is kakistocracy. That's what we live in. Not a democracy, not a republic. We live in a kakistocracy. Kakistocracy means that it's government by the worst elements of your society. The worst, not the best, the worst. The most vile, the ones with the least amount of integrity. Liars, cheaters, thieves, perverts. Miscreants is the word that comes to my mind. Miscreants, M-I-S-C-R-E-A-N-T, miscreant. They are miscreants. They are without any moral character whatsoever. They are psychopaths. Okay, this is Dr. Henry Heinz, Bolshevik, communist Jew, Kissinger, in Evian, France in 1991. So what he's doing is giving a speech to his fellow globalists. Now, I want you to remember something as I read this. This is 1991, the very year before all of the acts of terror against you and I as the people of this country started. Because in 1992 was the assault on Ruby Ridge and the Weaver family. A lot of people might not think that's very important, but it's very, very important. Okay? I'm reading some notes that were sent to me here. Hold on a minute. Mike Morales with the Weather Channel thinks that March 22nd, which is in 2 days, will be a big day. Monograph said March 9th would be a big day, and he was right. Yeah, that's right. A lot of people are saying this weekend. And certainly by Monday, it's going to be very revealing. So we're going to find out. They can't hide it forever. So whichever version of what's going on is true, it can't stay hidden forever. Now, at some point, the sons of the Most High are going to manifest themselves. At what point, I'm not sure. But at some point, Revelation tells us that this Babylonian system is going to crash. In a very short period of time, okay? And we've said this for years. The book of Revelation, it's an economic collapse. The book of Revelation does not say if it's man-made or natural or by divine intervention, whatever. It does not say. It just simply says it's an economic crash that causes weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But it also says that the merchants are doing the weeping and wailing and government officials. It calls them kings and priests. Okay, that's just the biblical way talking about the people in charge. In our case, it would be the government. Okay, central government. So remember, large central anything is communist. Okay? Our Father did not create things centralized. The only thing central to us is Him. Him alone. As far as you and I, it's at the local level. We should have all of our government, at least the vast majority of it, at the local level. Centralization of companies into corporations, centralization of banking, centralization of medicine, centralization of farming, centralization of religion, those are all antichrist, very much. So anyway, here's what Mr. Henry Kissinger had to say. Today, America would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated. Now, promulgated means made up, that threatened our very existence. Is that not what's happening right this moment? It is then that all peoples of the world, now see, in 1991, the idea was not just the people of America, but all the people of the world. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. Okay? Now, I'm asking you, does that describe what's going on today to a T? Sure is. It's exactly what's going on. You're told that there's a threat from beyond that threatens your very existence, and the only people that can stop it is your big brother government shutting everything down, blah, 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 blah. That's furthest thing from the truth. These people don't give a damn about you, me, our families, nothing. All they care about is their globalistic agenda and subduing the whole world and making everybody equals as slaves, not as men and women, as our Father in heaven intended, but as slaves on their plantation. Ralph says something here about Monograph's latest video. He exposed that the rich ski hills with medical money connections are still open. Oh, the ski resorts. Okay. And then he thinks that oil is so low, they will start a war. Okay. Well, that's possible. They would love to further cover, okay, as people begin to figure this whole medical thing is just a ruse. And people like Sheriff Mack is putting the word out that shutting down schools, shutting down travel, shutting down restaurants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is not only unconstitutional, it's almost treason. They don't have a right to do that. We don't have an obligation to obey it. So I'm wondering when civil disobedience is going to kick in. That's what I'm wondering. Because at some point it has to. Okay? If there's one thing for certain, Americans don't like being told they can't do something. Okay? They will at first, just like on 9/11. Everybody got their flags out. Everybody jumped on board because it was just like Pearl Harbor, just like the sinking of the Lusitania, just like the Gulf of Tonkin incident prior to Vietnam. They always have a staged event to get our emotions kicked in because we shut our brains off. Okay, but sooner or later, that adrenaline dies off and the brain starts to function again. Now, usually they will have already gotten us to the point where our waking up can't prevent it. Like Vietnam, we were already there and they made sure that they killed or discredited anybody that was pointing it out. But that's how they do things, okay? They get our emotions involved. And then we turn the brain off, and they're able to get away with what they want to do. So that's what's happening right now. Everybody's reacting to the constant hype over the electronic media, which I call the electronic toilet, the image controlled by the beast, which is a governmental system, worldwide or national, doesn't matter. They're trying to get rid of national borders. Okay, they got the whole world working in coordination. Okay, so the UN will become more lifted up as a world health and security institution when it's completely run by the communists. Always has been. Even General MacArthur and General George Patton were very aware of that and very outspoken about that. In fact, it was interesting in reading the biography of General MacArthur. He pulled off one of the greatest military stunts of all time at Incheon Bay in Korea. Now, what they don't talk about is how did he do it? Well, he realized that Harry Truman was a traitor and that the UN was communist run, and that by reporting to the UN his battle plans, it was just like talking to the North Koreans and giving him everything he was going to do. That's why we couldn't get anything done in North Korea. Sound familiar? Like Vietnam? So there was an offensive being planned by the North Koreans, and MacArthur decided he was going to go around the frontline troops and attack Incheon Bay. Now, the reason that the North Koreans did not fortify Incheon Bay very well was because it was such a treacherous harbor, very treacherous. So MacArthur put his best men on it, and he put them to the task of, okay, we're going to go in on Incheon Bay, and you're going to tell me how we're going to do it. And yes, it is difficult, but the North Koreans don't expect us there. The other thing that MacArthur did that ended up ensuring his success was he swore all of his staff to secrecy. Basically what we call today a non-disclosure agreement. He swore them to secrecy that they were to tell nobody outside of the inner circle of command officers, including MacArthur, obviously. So he planned Incheon Bay, and they pulled it off. They pulled it off. They landed and annihilated the North Koreans there and went, I forget how many miles, but they went quite a ways inside and made a major victory. Well, what did the administration do in Washington, D.C.? Harry Truman, another Zionist, pulled MacArthur out of Korea and put another person in charge, somebody that would be a stooge and take orders from Washington, because MacArthur was a soldier and he wanted to win. And one of the things that General MacArthur held dear to his heart was that his main mission was to win battles with the least amount of casualties. And if you look at the history of his battles, he planned them at all times, he planned them in such a way as to inflict the least amount of casualties on our people. If he had to, like he did with the Japanese in the islands, he starved them out. He didn't take them on. He didn't waste bodies like Marshall and Eisenhower and the rest of them, just throw American bodies at them. He didn't do it that way. He used strategy. And many times he would surround the island, blockade it, and starve them out. So that by the time our boys went in on landing vessels to the island, the Japanese were near dead with starvation. Okay. Now, it didn't work every time, and it wasn't, he didn't have enough time every time, but the point of it is he took every measure he could to win a battle with the least amount of casualties, where we had other bloodthirsty admirals and generals that didn't mind spilling American blood at all. And many times they were not our people, as in the case of Eisenhower and Marshall. Again, traitors masquerading or wolves masquerading as sheep. So spilling Christian blood was not a problem with those guys. Not at all. In fact, they get a special kind of thrill out of spilling Christian blood. So again, as we see all this chaos going on around us, we're reminded to go back to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, where we find that the three branches of government that we have today are all embodied in our king. He's our king, our judge, and our lawgiver. Is that not the three major branches of our government? Okay. So he's our king, the executive, lawgiver, legislative, and our judge, which is judicial. And then the last part of that verse says, he will save us. Now, here's the problem I got with the white hat theory, that all this stuff we're seeing is the white hats. The problem I have with that is every one of these groups that's supposedly going to do things to save our bacon in the last minute here, I don't hear any of them say they're doing it to the glory of the Father. Now, if you do, then you need to pass it on to me, but I'm not hearing that. And that's another thing that bothers me with that whole theory. Okay? It's all man-based, whether it's white hat, black hat. It's man-based. Man's going to step in and save the day. Man's going to be the false messiah. I don't read that in the book. So somebody needs to explain to me how that works. How do we glorify our Father if a bunch of white hats get together and save the day? How does that glorify the Father? How does an administration who talk about a thing called God, but what God? Lots of people have God. Satanists have a God. Zionists have a God. Muslims have a God. Hindus have a God. In fact, I think they have more than one. The point of it is God doesn't mean anything. That's a title. Right? Where, by name, does our Father get the credit for saving the day in that scenario? Now, what I have read by the other prophets and in Scripture is that things are going to get so ugly and look so bad that when He saves us, He will get all of the glory. That's what I read. That's what makes sense. As one of our listeners up in the Arkansas mountains told me, he's been there for a year and a half, and he's hardly found any, quote, good men, righteous, Rhadamanthine-type men. He hasn't found them. Now, I'm not there right now. I've been up into those mountains, the Ozarks, but not enough to make that kind of an assessment. But what I can say is that I've been around to a lot of places, and yeah, it is very hard to find righteous individuals. Very hard to find it. Most people today are caught up in Babylon, the Babylonian system, whereas the Scripture tells us to come out of Babylon so that you do not suffer her plagues, the plagues that are about to be unleashed on this world system. Now remember, as the plagues are released, the plagues' purpose is to punish those without faith. It is to punish the evildoers. It's not to punish the remnant. It's not to punish the people that actually love the Father and do His will. That's not the purpose. Because there's people out there say, well, the God you worship sounds like an evil God or an angry God or a vengeful God. Well, the Bible says He's all of that. Just like a father on this earth, okay? I consider myself a good father. My father was a good father, and his father was a good father. And they had all those attributes. There were days my dad patted me on the head and showed me lots and lots of love. There were days when my father had an angry look on his face and he kicked me in the ass. There were days my father would take me by the scruff of the neck and say, I'm going to show you how to do something. I want you to pay attention. So all those attributes that we attribute to the Father are also attributed to us as mortal men. So why would it be any different with our Creator? Are we not created in His image? What does that mean? If Adam, the first white man, was created in the image of the Father, what's that mean? In His image. What does that mean in the original language? It means that you have the attributes of Him. You just don't have them to His level, obviously. That's why it says the things of the Father are so far above us that we can't even understand them. We're not even capable of understanding them. But that doesn't mean that they're not in the image of that. So a righteous God can exhibit all of those attributes, depending on what the situation requires. Again, there's times when there's punishment, there's times when there's rewards. Okay? I don't see why that's a hard thing to understand. Okay, every now and then I get a note pop up here. I like to check it out. Oh, yeah, Ralph says here in Luke 3, chapter 3, verse 28, we have the same type DNA as when He walked the earth in a flesh body. Well, yeah, exactly. His Mary was of our kind, okay, kind after kind. So obviously He had our DNA. And besides that, Pontius Pilate when he wrote to Caesar about meeting the Christ, described him very much like us. Bright blue eyes, golden hair, and an appearance and a demeanor that set him apart from the average person in Judea at the time. And you can only imagine what kind of characters were floating around Judea back in that time. So we are in the days of Elijah. So the folks I sent that song to on my list, if you get a chance to listen to it, you need to. You're going to be uplifted by it. Trust me. It's a great, great theme song for we are in the days of Elijah, which means the enemy has a plan. They're playing their plan, which is the enslavement of mankind and a new world order. Okay, a one world government, one world currency. Not for good, but for evil. And Father says he's going to turn that around on their heads. He's going to take everything that they have planned to do to his children, and he's going to turn it around on their heads only double. And as we look at this stuff all playing out, the believers are sitting there going, wow, how in the world are we going to save ourselves? How in the world are we going to come through this? Well, the answer is that you're not supposed to be able to do it on your own. If you can do it on your own, you don't need the Father, do you? And that's one of the purposes of all this, is to show that we do need the Father. I mean, isn't it apparent that we have proven ourselves completely inept at governing ourselves? Are we not? I mean, look at the world wars. Look at the rape and the abuse. The infanticide, the euthanasia, all of it, all of it. The torture, the kidnapping, the lies, the murder, the bombings, etc. I mean, we're just one horror story after another when man is left to his own devices, are we not? You know, the Founding Fathers had a saying that you'll be either ruled by tyrants or by God. You have to pick one or the other. If you want to disassociate yourself and cut yourself away from the Father, then you've picked tyranny, and that's what you'll have. So whether people want to admit it or not, it's not going to be a change in banking system that's going to save the day. Sorry, but it's not. It's not going to be a change in the governmental system from nation states to one great big megalith called world government. No, it's still man playing God. Okay? So we've proven that only the Father has a right to rule over us. Only the Father. So anyway, that whole list of things here, I just wanted to go over real quick. And then the phone lines, of course, are open. If somebody out there has something they want to report or if they have a question. But the whole world, it's not just here in the United States, the whole damn world is in chaos right now. And over a completely staged pandemic, because this thing's not for real. I don't care what anybody says. It's no more real than a common flu during the flu season. Okay, that's for real. Yeah, we do have a strain of the flu going around, but that there's some pandemic of a contagion, much like the movies that were predictive programming to get you all worked into a lather, that there actually is something life-threatening out there. You know, here's the problem with that. The Father has got a counteraction for everything they do. There is a countermeasure for everything the wicked do, and it's always natural. Always, always natural. So, again, fear is a sign of disbelief, and shame on us when we allow that to guide us. It's okay to be cautious. It's okay to be anxious. But to allow fear to take dominion over us, no. The reports I'm reading is that sometime during the weekend, and it's already started in like Illinois, California, New York, I believe maybe Pennsylvania as well. over the course of this weekend, they will incrementally try to lock down the whole country. And it may even get to the point where they don't want you to travel. They don't want you on the roads. Right now, that's not what I'm hearing, but it would not take much to go to that level, because they are deploying National Guard and military for monitoring you and me. Not a real enemy, not a real threat, but you and me. That's what the purpose behind all this is. So, like I said, Dr. Ron Paul is in agreement that that's what we're up to. And we do want to remind everybody that we did a lot of shows on back to basics. Now is the time that you need to really focus on being back to basics. Don't worry about having a basement full of this or that. Right now, you need to really, really focus on what it is you need for the short haul. And I'm talking, as we have said for many years on this program, 3 months. That's the window you want to look for. Can you stay hunkered down in your house, avoid going out for 3 months? How many times have we talked about that? And again, it's not me. That was all my military friends talking to me. Ralph says here, the world is waiting for the sons of Yahweh, which I think is us, to manifest themselves. Amen, Ralph. Of course it's us. Who else would it be? Who else represents the Father but us? In Canada, they do not have the numbers of law enforcement and military, so they are using the media and social shame to push the agenda. Yeah, they're doing the same thing here. They want your neighbors to become informants. It's like somebody told me today, who the hell was it? A neighbor called 911 because somebody... What the hell was it they did? They came outside and they were sniffling or something, or didn't have a mask on, and they called 911. So they don't have the numbers. They really don't. We've said that all along. They will try to weaponize us against each other through the media. They will try to paint anybody that doesn't go along with this ruse as unpatriotic, unhealthy, not going along, blah, blah, blah. You get the picture. So they will try to turn in these social justice warriors, the cucks, the soy boys and girls, try to turn them into their own part of their own military, part of their own spy network. They're also going to try to, efforts are being made to tie your cell phone into the CDC and various other agencies so that they can use that to monitor you as well. Okay, we've told you for a long time, Google Maps shows you traffic patterns, where log jams are, where traffic jams are, where traffic slowdowns. They're using your cell phone data for that. Did they get your permission to do that? Oh, they'll claim, of course, that hidden in those terms of service somewhere is a clause that gives them a right to do that. They always do that. That's why they hide it in a mountain of superfluous verbiage. They'll have a little clause in there hidden away that says they have a right to do it. But did they actually sit you down and say, look, we're going to take your data off your cell phone, and we're going to make money by selling people Google Maps and be able to tell what traffic is doing, et cetera, using cell phone signals. Okay? So it's not a big stretch of the imagination that they will use the GPS information off your phone to tell if there's groups of 10 or more. Because all they got to do is set the algorithms to look for GPS locations that are within 10 feet of each other, and the number reaches 10 or more. It all relies on one thing. What is that? That you carry your cell phone with you constantly. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to legislate that you have to carry it just for that reason. That way they can track you, listen in on your conversations, monitor your location, all of your friends' locations, all the people around you's location. They'll know where groups of people are. What better way to do it than to tell you that it's the patriotic thing to do? After all, we're trying to stop this virus. The virus that doesn't exist other than a regular flu. quite clever, isn't it? Give them points for being clever, but they're also diabolical. So, anyway, we got Gary here. Hold on a minute, Gary. Okay, Gary, welcome to the program, bud. Can you hear me? I think you're muted at your end. Hello? I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can.
Huh?
Yeah, now I can.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Well, I pushed a mute, but I guess my phone was on mute.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I just wanted to let your listeners know that here in California, we were on stay in your house. We were ordered to stay in our house today by the governor.
To stay in your house?
He said it nicely, he said indoors. Unless you were shopping and it was necessary that you're out on the road. If you were and they pulled you over, it was a misdemeanor. You'd have to go to court and pay a fine for misdemeanor, which could go up to as high as a year in jail and $600. And I'm sitting there saying, where did they get the authority to do that?
Right.
The Constitution says I have a right to do what I'm doing.
Right.
I have a right to go outside.
They don't have a right. They only have what they have because we acquiesce and because of our lack of resistance. That's all. They don't have authority to do that. They're counting on our lack of aggression, our lack of discernment, our lack of pushback. That's where they'll get it from, and they'll paint you in a negative light in the media. Which most people are media-driven. I mean, we've said that for how many years? The average person in America today is... Well, it seems like it's been that long. But, you know, whatever the media pumps out, the people, they gobble it up.
Well, Pastor, this whole thing is a joke. It's really not a joke. It's very serious what they're doing. But there is no virus that's that strong out there. Like you said, it's not even as much as flu. Last year, I think it was last year or the year before, 30,000 people died of flu. Okay?
Yeah.
What was the action on that?
Nothing, of course. What's the action on it's somewhere between 600,000 and 700,000 die every year due to medical malpractice. It's called iatrogenic death. Okay, iatrogenic means it was caused by the medical profession, either malpractice, the wrong pills, or the wrong dosage. But the medical profession itself killed somewhere between 600,000 and 700,000 people, and there's no concern over that. So your actual local doctor is more likely to hurt you than this thing here, and yet they want to shut the whole country down for it.
Yeah, but what's happening is people say, well, how come it's so serious? What, you know, it is. I said, your media.
Yeah.
Remember that media that Trump calling, you know, illegal and what he has another name for them? That's what's done it. Media... heard us. We're so stupid. We're sitting there looking at it. You know, if Trump got elected to office because he said the media was terrible, how about they're terrible to us and they're causing this problem? We should be doing the same thing, and we're not.
What do you mean the same thing?
We're allowing crap to happen.
There's a saying that says evil prevails when good men do nothing, and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Evil well, is prevailing.
Well, I think we're in the last days. I think this is part of an act that's coming up. I mean, this closed down our country. I mean, it's closed down the world, but I'm not worried about the rest of the world. I'm worried about our country. It's closed it down.
Right. As we go, so goes the world. So once they have subdued us, the rest of the world doesn't stand a chance.
That's true. And then they not only, what was I thinking? They shut us down, but we have to stay in our houses. And this was nothing. And they're looking and they're testing. They're saying, wait, with this little nothing thing, look what we can do.
Right. Yeah, at this point, they have to be encouraged because there's been so much complicity. So much people have agreed to when there's absolutely no reason for it. No reason at all.
And I'm sitting there thinking, where is the lawsuit against the media for this hype? You know,
well, this gets back to something we postulated a long time ago, that the left becoming completely insane, the whole purpose of the left becoming openly communistic and insane is to drive people into Trump's camp so that Trump becomes a literal dictator in America. That's exactly what it was for. Because they don't fear the left, okay? These globalists don't fear soy boys and social justice warriors and man-hating feminists. They don't fear them because they're not warriors. Most of them don't even have weapons. They don't fear them. What they fear is especially the white man with a weapon. That's what they fear. And so they drove the white men into the Trump camp and the Q camp with a completely insane left who put up a complete witch named Hillary to run, knowing full well that there would be rebellion in the country if she got anywhere near the White House. That was all staged. It was all staged. And putting Trump as the outsider, the good guy, coming up at the last minute, going to save the day, and blah, 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 blah. But like everybody, Ron Paul, Robert David Steele, Kevin Shipp, everybody is noticing over 3 years into the administration, and where are we seeing what we were promised? Nowhere. Even the fake economy.
I still see Hillary running around. All them guys.
Right. Now, you know, yeah, people are saying that, you know, this whole secrecy thing and this cover of this virus, which is covering up some nefarious activity, is the bad people being taken down. But like I've said, where's the evidence? Do you see any evidence of that? Other than what people are telling you. I'm not talking about people talking. Anybody can talk. Anybody can put a report out. Because, see, many of these people work for the CIA. Okay, so that doesn't mean anything. A report or somebody says something. As far as empirical evidence, do we see that says that there's any group of guys doing us any favors out there? I don't see it. We got another caller. Let me bring Phil on here. And remember, let's not walk on top of each other here. Okay, Phil, welcome to the program, bud.
Very much.
I can't hear you, bud.
Can you hear me now?
Very, very light. Almost no volume.
Is that any better?
I can't adjust your volume at this end, so you have to crank it up at your end somehow.
I don't think I can do it here.
Is it a cell phone or a landline?
The landline.
Usually landlines are pretty good.
Yeah, you can't. Is it any better now?
No, it's not even registering any bars. I'm just barely able to hear you in the headset. Can you hear Gary?
Barely. I hear him. If he's quiet, yeah.
Is there another phone you could try?
I think another phone went out.
Maybe you could call back.
Yeah, it may be a bad connection. You want to call back in?
Yeah, let me try and call. Hold on 1 second.
Okay, hold on. We'll give him
a
second.
Yeah, let me try and call back in.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bummer. Sometimes we get bad connections.
They're not sorry about you being here.
What's that? What'd you say, Gary?
They're not excited. They are not excited about you being on the air.
Who's not? Oh, the enemy?
The enemy.
Oh. Yeah, probably not. Okay, but see, here's the enemy doesn't care about little fish like me because they think they've got so many trillions of dollars, even though it's all just ledger entry. There's no real money. But they've got so many people buffaloed into thinking this economy is made of real assets and real money. And they've got so many people buffaloed into thinking they got all the police and the sheriffs and the military in their pockets. They're not worried about little fish, okay? That's why Yahweh says many times, I will use the uneducated to confound the wise. It's also, I will use the weak to confound or overcome the powerful. Okay, we're small in number. We have none of the assets that the Antichrist forces have. We don't have any of those assets. The only asset we have is each other and the truth. And our Father's behind all of that. So the greatest asset, of course, is our Father himself. But we have each other, and we have our calmness, and our working together as a team, and we work on honesty and integrity and the truth. Okay, that makes us strong. That makes us strong. And the enemy can't stand that. The enemy can't stand that. And I personally think that the scriptures that say that the Father caused those in authority to back off with the warning that touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And the remnant are his anointed. Okay? So they have to be careful when they're dealing with, I'm talking about people who have a true anointing now. I'm not talking about the John Hagees and Kenneth Copelands and the rest of the ilk like that. I'm not talking about the pew sitters out there going through the motions. We got millions of those. That's not who he's talking about. The only warning the Father gave the Antichrist was about his true prophets and his true anointed. Okay. I thought I heard somebody.
Yes.
Is that you, Gary?
That was me. I just said, yes.
Oh.
This is me now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Phil might have trouble calling back in. They do play with our ability to function sometimes. I'm not saying it's intentional all the time because some software glitches out on us. But we prevail. We're still here as long as the Father watches over us and gives us breath, then we will fight the enemy. Because we know what happens when they take over. Like I've told people, all you got to do is read the books by Alexander Solzhenitsyn and any of the other survivors of the Red Terror in Russia. Or read the book The Red Mafia by Robert Friedman. Because the Red Mafia is the Jewish Mafia. And that's what Mr. Friedman said. That's not what I said. That's what Mr. Friedman said is in his book. So, and that's out of the Ukraine. So when they talk about the oligarchs in the Ukraine or Russia or any of that area over there, they're talking about the Red Mafia, which is the Jewish Mafia. Ralph says, Yahweh willing, we'll be celebrating the Passover on April 2nd. which is 15 days after yesterday, which, by the way, is the solstice and the first day of the year in the Hebrew calendar, our calendar, not these fake, phony Israelites, these Israelis posing as Israelites, okay, wolves posing as sheep. So we're into our new year. This could be the beginning of our Jubilee, and 15 days or 14 days from now will be the Passover. So interesting timing, wouldn't you say?
Yes, Pastor, and I wanted to mention another thing. I got a haircut today, and the barber was telling me some stuff, and I said, well, you know, there's some militias for me out there, and he goes, they don't stand a chance. The army's too big, you know, it's just awesome. Well, if I'm not mistaken, who was it that had 300 against awesome numbers, and he won?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yep. And the Israelites were running from Pharaoh's army. Pharaoh's army was the greatest army at that time, with chariots, war chariots, and all that. What happened to them? They ended up at the bottom of the Red Sea, didn't they?
I think they're still there.
Well, some of the chariots and all have been found. Yeah, they found chariot parts and wheels and bridles for horses and things like that, and some of the weaponry. But the point of it is, numbers don't mean anything, and their strength is in intimidation and deception. Besides that, if all of this high tech was such a thing, then how the hell did we lose the Vietnam War? How did we lose in Afghanistan? How did we lose in the Middle East? Because people say, well, no, we won those things. We did. What did we win? The oil companies won. Manufacturing won. Corporate America won. But where did the American people actually win? Where was the saving of our people?
Actually, they keep saying, you hear them say, oh, here's this soldier who come over. He was fighting for his country. You know? I said, where's he from? He wasn't fighting for us because we're not in war over there. But I'll tell you who is, the Jews. They are at war over there against the Arabs.
Right.
And that's who they're fighting for. They ain't fighting for us.
No.
Fighting
exactly
for them.
Right. So,
and I think, I wish that Jews would go fight their own wars.
Well,
stop making us do it.
Well, if you can get somebody to be a sap and do your fighting and dirty work for you, wouldn't you do it? I'm saying if you were them, wouldn't you do it?
Well, yeah, I guess I would.
Right. You and I wouldn't, you know, because we don't believe in that because of righteousness. We don't believe in that. But these people are not righteous people. They're psychopaths. We're psychopaths. Let's see if this is Phil. Phil, is that you?
Yeah, it is. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, you're loud now.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm using my mom's cell, actually. So, I've got for some reason I can't dial this number on my current plan, so I'm gonna have to call them tomorrow and see if I can change it. So, and but yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And but yeah, well, you had I had been working for earlier, and I didn't get to listen to the early part of the show, but I just got in where you were saying that you don't see anything going on. And I'm going to tell you what I see is going on.
Okay.
And this is happening. We're seeing the implosion of the media, the absolute complete high treason of the media. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing here is that the Chinese are highly racially conscious. Okay. And we have been basically living off of them like parasites. Okay, and they have a large, we're their biggest customer by far, and
right.
We've been at war with them. Okay, now this whole thing is what this is doing is this is making everyone act tribally, and that's something that's what we want, and it's going to be ugly, but we are the most the most United Nations country on the planet. Everything since World War II, we've been trying to make everyone into the United States. And I mean, if you look at the Chinese, even they were, you know, they wear the same kinds of suits that we do, and everything. The Japanese do the same thing, and all that kind of stuff. And what you're seeing is you're seeing this a system where you're having a breakdown of the structure of the order. You're having a total collapse of the monetary system. You're having a total collapse of the of the regular social order. And because we've been so universalized, people are not comfortable with that. And I mean, when you're seeing countries like Germany and Hungary and other countries acting, you know, enforcing their borders, that's something that we want. This is actually, I think, destroying the New World Order, and it's imploding in on itself. Because what you're going to see is it's going to get very, very ugly. When they can control the shipping and all that kind of stuff, you're going to get the islands and stuff turning into basically the Lord of the Flies, essentially. If you can't get shipping going to places like Hawaii, for instance, you know, they're going to die. That's just what's going to happen. And so the Chinese, is it the Chinese or is it not? You know, we had this lady at the press conference with Trump saying, is Chinese food racist? You know, and then today he blew up at an NBC guy saying, you know, about complaining about 17,000 supposed victims of this illness. Now, I think this illness is legitimate. I do think it's a it's a real legitimate illness. But they're making it out to be much more bigger than it normally would be, and it's and they're doing this intentionally because they're printing money like there's no tomorrow, and the stock market is tanking, and we can't buy anything from the Chinese, and so they're using this as a pretext. So while it may be bat soup that may be the cause of it, the bottom line is that we need to act as our ancestors did, you know, prior to the Jewish takeover, and that's what I see this happening. I see this everywhere. I've heard it on the radio. I've heard people talk about it. While it's going after the elderly and people with other conditions and everything like that, the governor of New York and the mayor of New York are just, I mean, they're just, oh my God, it's like King Herod and King Herod II. And I mean, it's unbelievable. And if you remember our prophecies, you had these experts saying it's going to start on the coasts. You know, you've got basically California and the state of Washington, you know, going absolutely berserk, and you've got the Northeast going nuts, and we're probably going to be next on the list down here in Florida. And I just saw 20 minutes ago on my computer, I saw they had martial law guys all over the FedEx Field in Washington. So, and this thing is really going to be ramping up heavily. So this is just like what we're going to say. And you have the most white part of the country in the middle of the country, the farmland and everything. That's going to be the last to go. But this is exactly like it. And we had talked about, like, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And it's following that same mode.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, there's an element to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can't. You know, we're seeing. And see, the thing is that people laugh at the way we're running off. We're people are running out getting toilet paper. That is absolutely something that is primo that you would want. You're trying to get stuff to, because you're not, you don't have any trust in your government. You don't have any trust in your monetary system, you know. And so you're trying to turn a debt asset, a debt note, into something that's tangible. And you know, and so then the first thing you think about, you know, is, well, you got to have toilet paper. You know, I remember when I was some years ago, back when I was on one of these date sites, they asked me all these questions, and one of the questions was, if you could choose between two things, which would you rather live without, deodorant or toilet paper? And I thought that was kind of strange, you know, and my mom went out to try and get some toilet paper today, and she said she couldn't find anything in it. You couldn't find any of it. So, and my company, they closed down my entire building, okay, and it's a big building. It used to be a shopping mall, and the company I work for has a large wing of that mall, and everyone that can is working from home, and I've got my computer set up here and everything, but I don't have the 5G. I'm only using the 2G, thank God, and stuff. But you know, but and it's we're selling Medicare plan, you know, a Medicare plan. They're now allowing enrollments, you know, at any time, basically, because they changed the rules. You have all the, you know, you have the Jews. I mean, if you watch Trump, I saw this in his press conference when he gave the announcement of the state of emergency, okay, when he announced that. And the guy from Target, the CEO from Target, said, and this is a pretty much a direct quote, he said, in this challenging time, we are going to have to do whatever we can to help feed the virus. That's an exact quote, okay? And Target, if you may know, is a French company, you know. And if you think about it, the United States, we betrayed France, and we absolutely betrayed them, in that the French Revolution was an exact reaction to the American Revolution. Only difference is that our king was in England, and their king was in their country, and they killed him. You know, then with World War One, we killed all the other, we pretty much killed the remaining monarchs, or what, you know, what were a few left, and or they went into hiding. So, and we're paying the, you know, we're paying the price for this, and the Jews know it, that it's up, you know, that they know that the time is running out. And All of our economy is based on tourism, and, you know, when we have all these hotels, the airline industry is going under, you know, and everything's going to be nationalized, that you can forget the Constitution. I mean, if you think the Constitution is still relevant, you've got to be living in like fantasy land. So. So we're not allowed to move around and all this kind of stuff. So, and you could blame the Chinese, you know, and that's what people are doing. They're blaming the Chinese. They have an out with the economy and all this kind of stuff. Okay, and the media is all acting ridiculously stupid.
Yeah, also think about this. By limiting our ability to travel, to gather, to speak to each other face-to-face, it forces people to stay in touch electronically, which they monitor everything electronically.
Oh, of course they do. Yeah. And, you know, I've been reading some stuff about, you know, the cell phones and all this kind of stuff, and that they're, you know, that they can... They're going to be able to, you know, they can track you where you're at if you're, you know, if you're being distant enough,
right?
You know, so I mean, you're just, I mean, this is this is as draconian as it gets. I mean, they've had this thing planned for a long time, and you have a president, or whatever you want to call him. I'm going to, you know, that's just, you know, he's whatever, you know, the ancient orange, I guess you might call him. He's in office, and you know, he's a master of bankruptcy. He's an absolute. That's the only thing he's really good at is bankruptcy, and he's from New York City, and that's why they put him in there. And when he started bragging about, oh, it's so wonderful, the stock market's going way up, and you know, it just can't get any better. And now it's, you know, you're going to have 30 million unemployed people, and it's just going to become a disaster. So. And they're calling it, you know, basically this is a World War III against an invisible enemy, and yet you see everyone around him is just Jew. And it's unbelievable. Like Fauci guy, that guy is just, oh my God, he looks like some caricature. And here's another thing. Here's something else. My friend, my buddy Steve, he told me that one of his friends said that XM Radio has a 24-hour channel now of dedicated solely to the coronavirus. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, my radio has XM. It's XM capable. Okay. Mm-hmm. And but I don't have XM. But it's capable to have it, and you can just plug into the XM. Normally, if you plug it in, all you're going to get is advertising, right? You know, for the channel or for the service. Well, I tried to say, okay, I was stuck in traffic, and I just said, okay, I'm going to flip on the XM, see what I get, and I got that coronavirus network, okay, and it was from where was it from? New York University of Medical School. Okay, you know the guy was sitting there. And you could tell he was totally Jew. You could tell, and this is what he says. He says we are the premier, one of the premier medical institutes, probably one of the five most influential in the entire country. And this is what he said, Dan. I couldn't believe it. He says, our arms and tentacles go all over this country and around the world. But we won't get into that now. That was a direct quote. Okay, I couldn't believe it. It's like, oh tentacles. My God.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Our arms and tentacles.
Yeah, that guy Fauci or whatever his name is that you're talking about, that little weasel, he reminds me of Mini Mike of New York, Bloomberg. He's another mini, you know, little troll coming out there. He's going to tell us how to live our lives because they're so smart, you know, little troll.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is just, you know, and I mean, they're setting up for an absolute total destruction. It is unbelievable. And when you sent me that picture of Trump giving his press conference, and every person behind is a Jew, and you have a black guy that's their surgeon general, you know, and then we have what else do we have?
You have an Indian. You have one or two Indians, and blacks.
Yeah.
You've got Jews, of course, and that's why I told people, I said, whenever you see pictures of Washington, and these criminals amongst us, whether state government or federal, how many white Anglo-Saxon Protestant people? And I'm talking about real Protestant, not the fake frauds like Pelosi. I'm talking about real. Well, she claims to be Catholic, but. I mean, real believers, white Anglo-Saxon believers of the living God. How many of them do you see represented in Washington? Zero.
None.
Zero. So when people tell me that this administration is trying to do good and they're part of this white hat revolution, I'm going to keep saying it till Yahweh takes my breath away. show me. Don't tell me. Mm-hmm. Show me, because I don't see it. Mm-hmm. Okay? I wish there was, but there is a white hat army, but I don't think it's in Washington. I don't think it's the Pentagon. I think it's the heavenly host. I think our Father's got an army he's getting ready to unleash on these people, and you and I are part of that army. That Ezekiel 37 army out of dead, dry bones here, but we also have brethren on the other side that are going to come back.
Oh, I agree. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah, our ancestors are sharpening their swords. I'm telling you that. Do you think we'd have any trouble with
our Russian ancestors on the other side that get a chance to come back and take out the Cheka and the other Bolshevik Jews?
How about our German
brethren? Do you think there might be a few of them like to get a whack at these Zionist communist Bolsheviks?
Yeah, it's funny. I just saw that they found a Falkhoff FW-190 fighter plane in the Russian woods. Is in perfectly good condition. You couldn't figure out why it was there. It's like, oh my gosh, what was the timing on that one, you know?
Wow.
So it was pretty cool. So
yeah, that's a good airplane. I built a model of that when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's a very good one, yeah.
Falkhoff and Messerschmitt. I thought they're both very good airplanes. So
yep.
I think Gary was trying to say something. Go ahead, Gary.
Pastor, you guys were talking about, you know, television and some of the things. I don't know if you've ever noticed. I imagine you have, that you'll see a blue-eyed blonde every time, and she's with a Jew-looking fella.
Or
never
blonde.
With the Caucasian.
No.
She's with
no,
a
race
Jew
mixing.
Fella.
You're
I mean,
pushing
I don't
the
know
race
what movie it
like
is.
Crazy.
See, that's going to end. Believe me, that is going to end, and it's going to end very, very quickly, because what you have in this country is our government is not, as it was mentioned on National Vanguard, it is not organic. That means it's completely unnatural in all of its. It has no racial consciousness. It has no affiliation with the world around it. It doesn't notice gender or anything. It's totally, totally unnatural. And when you know, and the reason why women are acting like basically like whores is because the state is giving them stuff. And when the government gives the blacks, you know, a free ride to have something, you know, that kind of like it tries to, you know, make it even, and it's not. And once this starts to happen, it's going to be a snowball effect. I saw a video of a black guy telling an Asian guy to get off the bus in California. Okay, I mean that's once you start that down there, okay, this is awesome. You know, now the next thing might come from like, you know, there might be some bug that comes from Africa or something like that. So and this is gonna, you know, you're gonna start acting tribally, and because you're gonna have very limited resources, you're not gonna be able to print stuff up, you know. You're not going to be able to just, you know, bring something out of nothing, and you're going to have it like it was with the, you know, in the Third Reich where the dollar or whatever you're going to call it, the mark, whatever, represents labor, you know, it has a value of labor, you know, and if you don't do that, then you're going to be in trouble. We don't produce anything, you know, and we have this medical mafia that is just taking over everything. And you can make anything. I mean, you can have, you know, you can use fancy words or something like that, and you can get like five doctors and get 10 opinions, and it's just whatever it is they're trying to sell, you know.
Well, I was just going to say, you're right, but were you listening when we were talking about the fact that we've just entered into the Hebrew New Year, and that the Passover is in 2 weeks, and that this could be the year of Jubilee? Have you got any feedback on that?
No, I haven't got any feedback on that, although I was coming home and I was listening to one of the local talk shows, and he said, if you want to know something really odd, he said, in the sky tonight, I think it was this Monday or Tuesday, I think it was the night that he did the state of emergency. He said there was an alignment between Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, and a crescent moon. Okay, and it's like, wow, that's pretty creepy, you can't get more symbolic than that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, these are interesting times. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to remember our worth is in our relationship to the Father and each other as a family, and our value is our people and our resources and the land. That's where the wealth is, not in Babylonian bucks, electronic digits, mm-hmm. and electronic computer ledger sheets. None of this Babylonian money system is real wealth. Real mm-hmm. wealth is,
yeah, it's,
the
it's
resources
not,
and the people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's you're right, absolutely.
Right.
And it's artificially enhanced. You know, it's just going to explode. So.
We have to remember that in the council of many, there is victory. And we don't need any egos amongst mm-hmm. us. When we work together mm-hmm. as a team and sort these things out, just like we're doing here tonight, that's when we're powerful. When we put the ego aside and we are willing to mm-hmm. to search out a matter and discuss a matter and share our intel with each other, and then we can sort these mm-hmm. things out. That's a mm-hmm. strength.
Yeah. Now, there's some things I want to mention about China and about the way the media is doing things. You'll see on them that they're using every psychological trick you can imagine. Like on PMSNBC, they have a map of the world, and then they have these red blobs of wherever the virus is at. You know, and America's just covered in these blobs. You know, it's like, oh my God, you know, it's the end of the world. We're doomed. You know, and it's hilarious. And there's like one blob in Mexico, and there's like one in Egypt or something like that. You know, and it's like, wow, it's crazy. But in China, now I am convinced that there's a lot more going on in China, because if they say that China's solve the problem, then it sounds as though that China is actually has the upper hand, and they must have done something if they're not a victim. And I think they probably are a victim. They're just not going to release it, because you can't trust the red Chinese.
No, they're communists. You can't trust anything communist.
No, you can't. You can't trust any of that. And now I've also heard, I know that the Israelis have been looking for an ethnic bomb. You know, there's just these viruses that hit specific groups, you know. So, and of course they're going to be going after the white Aryans, you know, and that's what they've been working for. So no matter what happens, it's going to change everything, and we're going to have to become self-sustaining. That's the only way it's going to have to work it.
Right.
Work it out. And we're going to have to get rid of all these foreigners and some of that kind of stuff, you know. And like on the local news, they were closing the Clearwater Beach, you know, for spring break. They're going to shut it down tonight. In fact, my phone got a text and a voice message, you know, a recording telling us, you know, you have to stay in your home. And it's like, oh my God. Well, yesterday they were showing these, they're showing these spring breakers just partying it up, and they were interviewing. And the local media guy, he has these four guys on the beach there, okay, five guys. They're four blacks in a mud. Okay, there's not one white guy there, and they're saying, well, we're going to do whatever we want to do. You know, we're going to party. It's like, why would they choose that? Why would they make the black guy look stupid, which he is? Why would you make them stupid? Okay, why would they pick those? Why wouldn't they pick the white guy? Because if you go to any beach around here, you're gonna see the vast majority of them are white, because black guys don't swim. And so, you know, why would they do that? Because they're humiliating them. They're making them look stupid. And it's the same way with the Jews and everything else. So, and today in my group session at work, we have this thing on our computers, you know, where they you know, they'll have their group thing, you know, it's like, and they asked for volunteers to work on Sunday. They said, we need somebody to work on Sunday. And I said, well, okay, I'll work, you know, I'll be on your show, and you're going to have it on Sunday. But I'll go in, and go in the afternoon, I'll work on a computer because, you know, I might as well. So, this black girl sends a picture. It says, I'm going to use Sunday to pray. And then they're showing their, you know, picture of this black woman, this big black woman, dancing in the hall, you know, in the aisles of some big black church. It's like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. So I just wanted to puke, you know. So this is what I'm going to be doing on Sunday. It's like, oh, sheesh.
Well, the facade is starting to disappear. The image that the Antichrist has formed around everybody's head of this comfort zone where all of this nonsensical social justice warrior, snowflake, cuck, whole feel-good thing and everything else, it's starting to disappear. It's starting to break apart because people that actually can think and observe the evidence around us realize that it's a joke. Okay, this Disney World mentality that they've created is a complete hoax and a joke. So reality at some point has to settle in, and it's going to settle in on the right people anyway. Yahweh personally, I think what he's doing is thinning the herd, which it does need thinned out. Okay? We got way too many stupid people on this earth. Okay, you can't survive with this huge number of stupid people and only a small amount of people that know what the hell's going on. You really can't. There's not enough people that know what's going on to cover for the stupid people. Okay, yep. I saw it personally in the 70s when the United States Air Force started this whole integration thing. Okay, the career field I was in required the highest test scores in the United States Air Force. And so predominantly it was white men. That's just the way it historically always was, because it's a very high skill level electronics and took a lot of teamwork to work on this equipment and get it in and off the planes. Okay. Then in the 1970s, the Disney World Zionists came in and said, well, we need more women and minorities in there. So they lowered the test scores. Okay. They didn't make them get smarter. No. Because they're not. So what they did is lowered the test scores. So now in comes the Mexican, the Puerto Rican, three or four blacks, our token female. And this is just my shop. Every shop went through the same thing. And what happened? Okay, now you have 25, say 30 young men, all of them white, that are doing this job. Now they've got this contingent of about 10 to 12 zeros that come in. They're just placekeepers, okay, for the fundamentalists and the affirmative action folks. Okay, but they don't do the work. Okay, they're not skilled enough to do the work. So now the remaining 18 guys, the white guys, have to make up for these 12 or 13 deadbeats that are just holding a spot. I saw it happen. Okay, well, the white guys eventually resent what's going on, because now they have to work twice as hard because they got to do what they did before, but now they got to make up for the fact that we just lost personnel. Our workload didn't go down, but the amount of intelligent people working in the shop went down. Mm-hmm. So as a consequence, the guys that know what's going on have to work harder, where the deadbeats just loaf around, push brooms, sit around gabbing, drinking coffee, or chasing women. That's all they did. Okay. Now,
Chasing white women.
I remember one guy named Roldan was the Puerto Rican, and he worked on the flight line. He did the best he could. He was a likable guy. But the point of it is he wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, so he did the flight line work, which is basically grunt work, driving the truck, taking the stuff out to the plane and back. But when it came to doing the bench calibrations and the troubleshooting of the broken equipment, he couldn't handle that. Neither could Dave, neither could the black guys, neither could the woman. Okay, they couldn't do it. So I saw a microcosm of what was coming to America right there in my experience in the Air Force. I went into the power industry, and the exact same thing happened. About 8 years later, the same exact thing happened there. Some idiot comes out of a university under Zionist Bolshevik training, and he's pushing the same thing in the power industry, which was almost all prior military white guys. That's, that's who most
well, Pastor,
all
let me
the
tell
workers
you,
were.
One time I was, Pastor, I say, back in the Vietnam era, I worked in shipyards as a welder. My brother was a welder. Well, I wasn't a welder at the time. I was a welder helper, meaning that I did all the grinding and, you know, you're a grunt. So one time I was up there doing some stuff, and this Mexican guy, he wasn't the only one. He's one I remember. He was trying to weld stainless steel together. Of course, you use stainless steel rod to do that, and he couldn't get it to go. I said, gosh, I can't believe this. He said, give me that. So I welded it for him. Mm-hmm. And he says, and he asked me, he says, are you a welder? I said, no, I'm just a helper. He says, you should go down. I said, they're not going to let me. But they would not let me do something like that, but they'd let the Mexicans do it
right
all day long. Since I was talking about the Mexicans, I just wanted to bring to your point that Trump did shut the Canadian border, but he did not shut the Mexican border.
He did. Apparently, that's being shut tonight. It's being shut tonight.
Well, how come it's shut now when all these months and years have gone by? They kept
exactly.
telling us they couldn't do
exactly.
it. Now
because
late, all of a
because the
it's shut.
Because the Mexican border is because the Mexicans are cooperating with closing the border. that's what's that. Now see, here's the thing: when you see the Mexicans that come in here, they're the Indians. They're the lower of the bunch. There's a lot of Aryans in Mexico. There's a lot of like Germanic and European. You don't see them. You just see the lowest of the low, because you know they're the ones that come up there. My mom used to live down in Mexico, and when she was younger, and there were parts of that country that was entirely and was as white as Europe. Okay, and she would never see any mud or anything like, you know. And the food was as good as anything you'd see in Paris. Okay, and but you don't see that. You think of tacos and burritos. That's peasant food, you know, and you're getting the worst of the worst. And so, and the white guys that live there in Mexico, okay, the white Aryan ones, they're in such a situation that they're basically having to, you know, they're in a situation like we are right now. They're having to be, you know, hiding behind, you know, barred fences and have security guards like crazy. You know, this is what's been happening around the, you know, for a long time now. So
right.
It used to be very, very safe, you know, but because of what happens with in America, making it, you know, for Mexico to do anything like that, the Bolshevik Americans will just go, you know, they'll just go to, oh my gosh, you horrible monsters, you know, what are you doing? How are you treating these poor little innocent muds, you know? And it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And so that's what's happening, and then they're forcing them to be able to do something. And when America loses its ability to do something, then the whites in the other parts of the world, whether it be Mexico or wherever they are, they're going to be able to rise up and actually do something, you know. So,
right.
And I pray that day it's going to happen like an hour. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. The sooner the better. So, yep.
But yeah, this is so. I mean, I just can't believe I'm living through this. It's surreal, you know.
Oh, I know. We've been talking about it for a long time, and now it's here. So you know, praise God.
It's here. Yeah. Yeah. So we should pray. Yeah, we should celebrate this because it needs to happen, you know. And I believe, you know, I believe in my, you know, my ancestors, and because once the, you know, you're not going to be able, you know, you're going to have real, you know, like everything in society is now going to have to focus on the good and not just, you know, anything. You're not going to be able to have funding for like, you know, crucifixes and urine and crap. You know, you're going to have to, it's going to go, you know, it's going to go to like real great artistic talent that goes all the way back to, you know, the pre-Christian, the great art of Europe, and you're going to have to get rid of all this junk because no one's going to want to fund that stuff. It's really going to be a survival of the fittest, and I'm perfectly confident in my race.
Absolutely.
And I think you are too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right.
So,
well, I'm gonna have to shove off here. So, is there any final comments, Gary? You got anything to say before we close?
Well, I just wondered, while you guys were talking, we were talking about the Mexicans. The one thing that I've noticed here in San Diego, I don't know if it happens in Florida, it probably does, is if a restaurant like a Denny's or whatever, any of those, hire a white manager, he's got to hire from everybody, blacks, Mexicans, and what have you. In other words, he better have that going on or they're going to get on his case. But if you hire a Mexican as a manager, the whole restaurant turns Mexican. And nobody says a word.
Oh, I know.
And I did once. He says, "Why, are you a racist?" I said, "Yeah. I believe in my race." I said, "Don't you believe in your race?" I said, "It's obvious to the most casual observer that you do."
Right.
I said, "But can you imagine if I did that?"
Here's one short point I want to make. Is that since the Constitution has pretty much been gutted, okay? The reason why that person has to hire those other racists is because of the law. The law requires him to do that. The lawyers are, have their law degrees based on a constitution that has now been pretty much thrown away. So the lawyers are not going to have their authority to do the things that they do. So, you know, and it's going to be possession is 9/10 of the law, as they say. So, and if someone wants to not associate with it, please, and keep their safe distance, as they say, you're going to have to, they're not going to have that that legal protection.
Mm.
So,
you know, Pastor Dan, you said there's something, another constitution that they put together, I can't remember the name of it now, but it would stop some of that stuff.
But they've overrun that a long time ago. So because you have
well,
to
there's one out there.
Nature's laws circumvent anything that's in writing. I don't care who wrote it. And God's laws are nature's laws, and no matter what you write on a piece of paper, it's not going to change that. So. But I just want to say thank you so much, Dan.
Phil, you're welcome. And thank you guys for being on the program.
Yeah, so.
Pastor Dan.
Yeah.
Yahweh bless you for what you've done.
Yes,
well, thank you. Yeah,
I want to say a prayer out to my uncle. My mom's brother just passed away earlier today.
Oh, jeez.
So I just found out about it. He exposed the Ducks Unlimited as a fraudulent Washington trash so-called charity. It was supposed to protect the environment, and it was all just a big scam. And he had death threats against him. That was back in like the late 70s.
Oh, my God.
So, but yeah, he was 29. So
I got a feeling we're going to see him pretty soon on the return.
I think so too.
Yeah.
He's probably going to show up here probably in about two or three weeks.
Well,
so,
we're in the countdown for something big. That I can assure you.
Yeah.
All this craziness is not by happenstance. I know the enemy's got plans, but so does our Father. So, we stay strong, stay positive, and. We're gonna get through it. We're gonna get through it.
Yeah,
so,
we will.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Gary. Okay,
thanks so much.
Say hello to Elka, and you guys stay safe out there. All right.
Thank you. You too.
Amen.
God bless you, both of you. Thank you.
Yeah. God bless, Phil. Take care, buddy.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's Gary out in San Diego and Phil on the west coast of Florida joining us tonight. Real quick prayer here. These are perilous times, Father Yahweh. We ask a blessing on Phil and his mom and the rest of the family for the loss of his uncle. And we ask a special blessing for our brothers and sisters all over this earth. These are unprecedented times. The world has never seen this before. And we were told about it. Scriptures, the prophets, Yeshua himself told us of the craziness that we'd see at the end of this earth age, and we're here. And so we need the Holy Spirit more than ever, Father. You promised us the Comforter for those that truly love you and trust you, and we look forward to being comforted by that Spirit. We also comfort each other as brothers and sisters that walk together as a family. We are a family. Under you, you are the only legitimate ruler over our family. And we are your sons and daughters. We shall manifest as that we exhibit your attributes and walk in your laws and in your ways and in your understanding and not the way of man. Man is evil. He's always been that way. And those who choose to have men rule over them will always deal with tyrants. And those that love the Father will live a completely different lifestyle. And these rantings and ravings of these lunatics, especially these communists posing as Americans and Europeans, etc., when they're nothing more than Bolshevik Zionist communists, they are the Antichrist, they are Luciferian, they are the people that Christ warned us about. They are also the people that Obadiah told us that in the day when we manifest, their comeuppance will come back on them. And we pray that that be very, very soon. As we start this new year, this new Hebrew year on the calendar, according to the sun, and then the fact that Passover will come up here very soon. And it's interesting to note that Passover is the same as with our ancestors. The death angel that took out the wicked passed over the homes of those that love the Father and put the blood of the Christ, the blood of the Lamb upon their doorposts. We do that spiritually now. We don't literally sacrifice a lamb. The Lamb has already been sacrificed. We spiritually put his blood over our households, over our people, for those that we love and care about. So, Father, we do ask for forgiveness. We make a lot of mistakes. I know we do, Father. Far too many. But we ask for forgiveness. We know you love us much better than any mortal man could do, and that you're more faithful, more honest, more true. And to you we look for that guidance. To you we look for that salvation, and no other. No arm of flesh can pull us out of this. Only you and your Holy Host and your word that is true can save our sorry souls in these latter days. Thank you for this opportunity to share and for our good brothers to call in and have a time of fellowship. Be with us again, Father. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Give us good discernment to see through the lies and deception. And always, we pray, protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.